Good morning. Had a dear brother comment recently that we are enjoying our own sort of harvest time here lately here at the Kirkland Church. And I realized that today, June 4th, 2017, on the Jewish calendar is the day of Pentecost. That Orthodox Jews are celebrating the day of Pentecost around the world today. Of course, that's well known to Christians because in Acts chapter 2, the church was first established and the gospel was first preached on the day of Pentecost, on a Sunday. That was literally, in the Jewish calendar, the Feast of First Fruits. But spiritually, this was the harvest of souls, the first fruits of the gospel, when 3,000 were baptized on that day. And I love Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. It talks about what was happening with all of that. And the church was praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those that were being saved. And how appropriate that this has been extremely fruitful week for us here at Kirkland as far as the fruits of the gospel and the harvesting of souls is concerned. Since the beginning of the year 2017, we've been blessed with 7 new births among us. And I'm particularly encouraged that 6 of those 7 have been from our local community. Those of you that were here last Sunday, Grace Jones Geisey was baptized into Christ. Friday night, about 9 p.m., Luba Pinzeri could not wait any longer. And about an hour's notice, we contacted some folks and we rejoiced with her as she was baptized into Christ. And last night, Dan Hyung had sort of a private baptism here with his 2 children, Jonah and Malaya, and Rick Taylor, and I think the Fishers and the Graddens, just a small group, but that's the way he wanted it. And he also was baptized into Christ. And we rejoice with these 3 new births, all that came within the last week. So we've had our own feast of harvest, so to speak. And so we all, like the early church, praise God and are thankful that God is adding to our number day by day those that have been saved. It's encouraging that people of the world begin to look for spiritual solutions to their problems. This meme is something I saw recently, and I have no idea who wrote this. Sometimes I feel broken and I can't fix it. And I wonder if that's you today. Have you ever felt sort of broken and just sort of feeling hopeless in regards to how am I going to fix this? Certainly, somebody who is involved in something really traumatic in their life may express this sort of despair. But I got to thinking that, you know, we all, once we as an adult choose to sin as an accountable individual, we are broken. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3, verse 23. And Romans 3:10, there is none that are righteous, no, not one. And it's really true that when we sin, we break our relationship with God. We hurt Him. We often, in the process, hurt others. And, of course, hurt ourselves and damage our own souls. The way that process is described in Isaiah is that too many people have gone astray and chosen their own way. And which one of us here at times have not fit that description? Lack the faith to go God's way, but instead choose our own way. And as a result, we often break ourselves against God's law. It's not so much we break God's law, it remains firm. It's that we break ourselves against it with devastating consequences. And so, as I think about today's message, I think about how many people are hurting and how in our modern society we have so many stresses. And as a result, people all the time don't cope very well. They're like this person that wrote this meme that says, I know something's wrong and I feel broken and I just can't fix it. And so frequently they will stuff their feelings rather than deal with them. They will suffer severe emotional hurts and then medicate their pain with alcohol or drugs or some other kind of addictive behavior. And there's just a whole lot of really good people who struggle with anxiety at times and depression. I saw recently that one out of every seven people in the United States today suffer some sort of type of addiction, whether it be with drugs or pornography or perhaps even food. There's lots of folks, including Christians, that suffer from these kind of maladies. And all of us at different times in this fallen world have had to deal with emotional wounds and perhaps over time have developed destructive bad habits. And honestly, when we look in the mirror, we see a person with some hang-ups that tend to just sort of mess up our lives and our sense of being whole. So it's time that we talk about some cures for these things. How do we find freedom from our hurts, hang-ups, and bad habits? Again, Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 18 is a passage where Isaiah is talking to the ancient nation of Judah just prior to their destruction by the Babylonians because of their horrific sins. He says, I have seen how they've acted. I mean, during the time of Manasseh, when their judgment was sealed, the Bible says they were not just involved in idolatry, but in infant sacrifice. The king himself was engaged in occult worship. They were condemned for shedding innocent blood. And the people as a whole had rejected God and become so immoral, the inspired writer said, that they were worse than the Amorite nations that they drove out hundreds of years ago when they came into the land. So God's going to have to punish them, but he gives them hope too. He says, I will heal them. I will lead them and help them. I will comfort those who mourn. So he says, I'm not going to abandon them. And I offer peace to all, both near and far. I will heal my people. And so, if you're in the audience today and you are hurting, God's promise is, I will heal you. If you find yourself confused, he says, I will lead you if you'll just let me. If you feel helpless, he says, I am there to help you. Psalm 46 and verse 1, David says that Jehovah is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Anybody in this audience or in the sound of my voice, perhaps listening on the radio, do you feel alone? God says, I will comfort you. I am here to help fill the void. Do you at times feel anxious and afraid? God says, I can offer you peace of mind. And just in general, he makes the wonderful affirmation, I will heal my mind. people. And since we are all at times hurting people and need God's healing, what a wonderful joy that is. That we can, by trusting in his promises, look forward to a hopeful and better future. One that is a life that is free. One that is healthful. And one that demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit: love, peace, and joy. And I believe a life of good mental health. Because there is a path out of negative, addictive, unhealthy, frankly, self-destructive behaviors. And even if you're not one of these that struggles in a major way with some of these type of addictions, I want us to remember that sin is deceitful, and it in and of itself can be an addictive trap. As we struggle with sin and its pleasure, there are times where all of us can relate to principles of how can I have victory over any sin that may be troubling me, and how can I effectively resist Satan and enable God's blessings to just come flooding into my heart and my soul. So, how do we find freedom from hurts, hang-ups, bad habits, and even addictions? We're going to look today at 8 healing choices. Because like everything in life, it's about choices. We're going to look at the positive results of what happens when we make these healing choices, and remind us about a couple of keys to success. But before we get into the message today, I want to invite everybody back tonight at 5 o'clock to our singing. I'm sure that will be a very meaningful time for all. And I want to announce that next Sunday morning we'll have a similar lesson to this one, though a little different. I'm calling it Curing the Hole in the Soul. Lessons from the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon. And then that Sunday night, we're going to continue our little series on Amos, the man and his message. Next Sunday night, we'll be looking at Prepare to Meet Thy God. And 2 weeks from today is Father's Day. It's one of my favorite days. How to be a great dad, particularly, how can dads help their children on their God journey? Do you know that the 4th most heavily attended day where people tend to decide they want to worship God and go to church somewhere is Father's Day? 1st is Easter Sunday, then Christmas, then Mother's Day, then Father's Day. Our last Mother's Day, we were blessed with 186 people in attendance, lots of visitors. Wouldn't it be great if we just had just a full house on Father's Day? So I'm announcing this way in advance. I think everybody's going to really benefit from this particular message. So get the word out on social media and start inviting people to join you for that particular service. I need to tell you the origin of these 8 healing principles. The ultimate origin of them, really, of course, is Jesus Christ, because they are based upon the Beatitudes. But there has been a movement that began in the early 1990s that is a Christ-centered recovery program specifically for folks that are dealing with addictions. Most people are familiar with the 12-step program. There's some similarities here, but this has proven to be much more impactful and effective. And it's because it deals with root causes rather than symptoms, and it is inherently spiritual, and it is built around a practical application of the Beatitudes. Last fall, we had a pretty detailed series of lessons on the Beatitudes and how we can use the Beatitudes to develop the mind of Christ. And I was just fascinated how they put together this 8-step plan based upon the 8 Beatitudes. And I wasn't surprised that when people started following the mind of Christ and following the principles found within, that they're just getting amazing results. Hundreds of thousands of people across the globe have been using this Celebrate Recovery program with great success. So I want to share with you how they have put together these 8 steps. It's a fascinating sequence, and it is very impactful to any of us as we either deal with our own issues, and we all have them, or perhaps as we seek to help other people with spiritual solutions to very serious problems that come from people reacting inappropriately to the issues that they face in this broken world. One of the things I particularly like about this is that it's really easy to remember. I'm going to post this chart that I'm about ready to show you up on our website if you're interested. But if you can just remember the word recovery, a 8-letter word, it will help you to remember how each letter in the word recovery stands for this sequence of events that will truly help people recover in a godly way from almost any spiritual issue that they are seeking and needing help for. Now, each one of these could actually be an entire message, so I'm just going to give you sort of a real thumbnail sketch of this, and I think there's some power in seeing them all together and how they work. And I want you to keep in mind, those of you that were here for the Beatitude series, what those Beatitudes individually really meant, and then how they could fit together in this way. So the first R of this acrostic recovery is realize that I am powerless to control my tendency to do wrong. That my life without some sort of spiritual force is always going to be empty. That's why Jesus says that the first step into kingdom living is blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who recognize their need for God and that have gotten off the throne of their lives and learned to trust in a higher power. So the very first key is you have to recognize your own inability to handle this on your own. And it's true, sometimes we see God most clearly when we are flat on our back. The problem that people often have is it takes some faith in God to let go, to take the reins of your life and literally hand them over to the Lord so that he can truly be Lord. That's where the second part of this comes in. The E in recovery is earnestly believe that God cares and has the power to help, and reach out to him so that you can receive comfort and blessing. That's why people who mourn over their sins and turn to God find that they now have tremendous hope because they are seeking after not only the one who has the resources to help you, but has the care to help you in the very deepest sense of that word. And then the C in recovery stands for consciously choose to commit your life to Christ's care and control. Matthew 5 and verse 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." This is like letting go and letting God. Meekness is a willingness to voluntarily let go of your own rights in order to please God and to be of service to others. It's a statement that says, not my will, but thine be done. That means you're off the throne and you're truly letting Jesus be there, and you are committed to allow him to work in your life. This replaces our willpower with Christ's power within us. R, E, C, and then O. Openly examine and confess my faults. First and foremost, of course, to God. Then you have to have the courage to approach someone that you may have sinned against and hurt in some way. And if you are in a situation where you need an accountability partner, which sometimes is the case, particularly in addictive behavior, you might need to ask someone to help you in this and meet with them regularly for prayer. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How much do you want a pure heart this morning? A conscience that's truly free, not because you're perfect, but because you so much want to be the best person you can be. David said in Psalm 139, beginning at verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try my soul, and see if there be any wicked thing in me. No wonder David, through most of his life, had this intimate walk with God. We need to be serious about thinking about our wrongs in the past that we have not yet taken care of, and just have a sense of urgency about, I need to take care of any kind of sin or any kind of wrong that I've done to others, and do my part to get cleansed of that from true repentance and confession. And when we do that, we can receive true healing. Then the V is voluntarily submit to every change needed. Again, this goes back to blessed are the meek. That's what the very definition of meekness is. It is not weakness. It takes a lot of strength and courage and faith to truly give the reins of your heart over to the Lord. He's not your co-pilot. He's your pilot. He's your Lord. And Matthew 5 and verse 8 tells us, again, blessed are the pure in heart. And if I really want to be pure and as much as possible one with God, then I'm going to voluntarily submit to everything that I see in my life that is lacking, and I'm going to choose to be transformed as a result. And then the E is evaluate my relationships. Based upon blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, and blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Once our relationship vertically is correct with God, then that ought to impact all of our horizontal relationships. And if we have people that we have harmed, have you owned up to that and apologized? God's people will. Or maybe, more likely, you have been harmed. You have been betrayed. You have to face that as well, or you turn that hurt into bitterness and resentment. I'm mindful of what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4, 31 and 33. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and put away all malice, but instead be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ hath forgiven you. Now that is not easy. But that is what we're called to do. And there is tremendous freedom when we carry that out. And then the R in recovery is reserve a daily devotional time with God. Some people talk about the hour of power. An hour a day for most people is probably not realistic, but it can be 10 or 15 minutes of power on a regular basis. The key is that you do it regularly and you keep your mind focused on God because you hunger and thirst after righteousness. And that's how you can be filled. If you're on a good track to recovery, to keep that on track and to not backtrack, you've got to make sure that you regularly spend a meaningful time in devotion to God. When we have somebody that newly obeys the gospel, we encourage them to go through this walking in newness of life study done by Brother Barry Kircheville. It's your first 50 days in your spiritual journey, and it's designed to develop the habit of personal devotion. And it has these 50 little almost vignettes that take about 10 or 15 minutes to go through, so it's not overwhelming, that keeps the new baby Christian in the Word so they can grow. There's a special kind of milk known as colostrum that God provides the little children, and God needs to give spiritual colostrum for the young babe in Christ as well. So you reserve a daily time with God in order to be filled up with His Word. And then you make a commitment to yield yourself to God and to be willing to stand up for Him and to share Him. I mean, God gives you this wonderful blessing and this freedom. You have to be willing to tell people that God is the reason and God is the source and give Him the glory. The problem with that, of course, is that particularly in our culture today, a lot of people don't want to hear that. Those that are in the darkness, they hate the light, right? But you have actually become the light of Christ when you allow Christ to live in you. And so the last beatitude is, blessed are those that are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you can just be genuine and you can deal with sharing what you've been through and deal with sin in your own life and that in others in an attempt to try to help them be saved, those who live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, shall suffer persecution. Some people are not going to want to hear it. But if you're willing to do it in love anyway, wow, you're off the throne. Because you're doing this genuinely for other people's benefit and not for your own. You crucified the flesh and the lust thereof and truly honoring God in your life. Another way to put this, as we focus in on the process and choices, is as follows. First, you're admitting your need and facing the reality that God is God and you are a mere fallible human being and you are nothing without Him. And then the second is, because of that, I'm going to get help and I'm going to realize that God is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, and He will not reject me, and therefore I can find hope and power in time of need. And so then there's a letting go and a letting God and a true commitment to trusting Him, even when sometimes it's scary. Then there's a coming clean, kind of a spiritual housekeeping, where you're literally sanctifying your soul. Then the next step is a determination to make changes. I like to call this the transformation choice. I'm tired of just being a caterpillar. I want Jesus to work in my life, so I'm a butterfly. All the former things are passed away. Yea, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Of course, that's a process, isn't it? I want to be transformed into the image of God's dear Son, and I'm willing to repair my relationships. Yes, I want peace with God, but I also want horizontal peace. Romans 12, 18 and 19 says, as much as depends upon you, be at peace with all men. So there are some folks that are so cantankerous, it's like trying to hug a porcupine. Good luck. I mean, there are some folks, they're just not willing to be at peace with you. But as much as it depends upon you, you would be at peace with people around you. Seek peace and pursue it. How are your horizontal relationships today? Do they reflect that kind of commitment? And then there's this maintaining momentum where you achieve growth by being serious, according to 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And can we call this last choice recycling pain? Take the difficulties that you've had and turn it around and help others and share divine truths and your faith so that you literally can make a blessing out of this difficulty in your life. I want us to realize that the goal of going through these eight steps and processing them together is not just so that we can take care of our past hurts and difficulties. The primary goal is to teach all of us what the healing choices are that will help us to become more Christ-like regardless of what we're dealing with, because the Beatitudes is the essence of triumphant kingdom living. And what a joy it is to know the pathway to growth and to spiritual wholeness. And this all comes from the truest of books and the most revered teacher of all time, Jesus Christ. I'm personally convinced, I'll say this for myself, I in my life have not put enough focus on the Beatitudes as far as my personal walk. And I think that may be true for many of us. Need to get back to the basics. And when you realize how amazingly successful this has been when people have applied it, it just reaffirms that this is true and God works. What are some of the positive results of really applying these principles? You'll be able to stand with those people who say, I used to live with shame and guilt over my past, but now I am free from guilt and shame. I talked to somebody this past week who can hardly sleep because she's so racked with guilt. And you'll be able to stand with those who can say, you know, I've had these bad habits and these hang-ups and they've been messing up my life and I've been so frustrated, but now I am free from these bad destructive habits and these addictions, and praise God, I could have never done it on my own. Thirdly, you're able to overcome your fears. A lot of people are fearful about the future. But in faith, you're able to say, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and so I can face the future with confidence and without fear. And what a testimony we then have as we talk to other people about the Lord. But as you take on any project, I want you to make sure that you are forward-looking. As someone who's done a lot of counseling and study on, you know, basic psychology and that kind of stuff, in my judgment, there's way too much emphasis on having people wallowing in the past and reliving painful memories. How about just accepting that those things happened and then replace those negatives, those negative tapes in our mind, with God's positive promises and believe that He has the power and the care to replace those negative hurts with comforting truths and relationships that will over time make those hurts fade away and give you true freedom. But you've got to be forward-looking with a sense of hope so you're not overcome with despair. Secondly, accept personal responsibility. We live in a culture that everybody wants to be a victim. It's everybody else's fault. And people want to be focused on blaming others. If you do that, you will never get better. You will just get bitter. We cannot control what happens to us, and we can't always in this life understand why, but we can stop asking the why question and start having faith and be determined that regardless of the hand that I am dealt, I'm going to make the best of it. Amen? To put it another way, I can't control what happens to me because some of it's out of my control. But I can control how I respond to what happens to me. And that is the key to personal joy. And of course, you've got to realize that these things are primarily spiritual issues. Get down to the core issue. We are eternal spiritual beings. And if we're constantly troubled, look to God. And be prayerful. Journal your thoughts. Get in touch with what's going on. Develop a support system. And be patient with yourself. Give yourself grace just as God has given you. And remember that lasting recovery cannot happen without real surrender to the Father. So you follow these things, and you know what? I'm convinced you, along with hundreds of thousands of others, will find freedom from your hurts, your destructive bad habits, and from any hang-ups you might have. And more importantly, you find just freedom from sin. I saw another meme recently. Life is short. Death is sure. Christ is the cure. Amen? I mean, even though we sometimes feel broken, the hope is we don't have to fix it. We have to make the right choices and depend on the great physician, the sympathizing Jesus. Jesse has selected the song, What the Lord Has Done in Me, for our invitation. Is there anybody here who's ready to truly follow Jesus this morning? Like Grace and Luba and Dan have already done this past week? Is there anybody who wants to join them in that decision? It's the best decision you could ever make because it impacts not just eternity, but the quality of your life and the sense of freedom in the here and now. So if there's anyone who's subject to the gospel, even if you just need to come forward and ask for prayers, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.